In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, Amen. I greet you on this holy day of the Dormition of the Most Holy Lady Theotokos, Never Virgin Mary. I think the outstanding aspect of the Theotokos is her purity, her holiness, her obedience. This is why we venerate her so highly. And the scripture that we read today basically says that. Because when the woman said, "Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps by which thou didst suck," and he said, "Yea, rather," which is actually an idiom, which is actually enforcing what was said, but saying something in addition to. So it's not contradicting what the woman said. He's saying, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." So the mother of God heard the word of God and kept it from a very early age. And she became holy, even in this life. Now, I think that her holiness is uncomfortable for some, especially people who are not Orthodox or people who are nominally Orthodox, people who live secular lives. Her holiness is just too much to understand. How someone could be so completely given over to God and obedient to Him. Of course, there are those that dare to call themselves Christian and yet think that the Theotokos had other children, so she was not a virgin in their mind after giving birth to Christ. Despite the united witness of the church from the very beginning that she was virgin before, during, and after childbirth. And if you say that that is impossible, I would say that to raise a man from the dead is impossible. To give a man eyes is impossible. To cause a man who has legs that have no feeling and cannot walk, able to walk, is impossible. I would say that also the greatest impossibility, which happens all the time, is that a soul turning to God is impossible, but made possible, of course, by God. So, the Theotokos being virgin before, during, after, and during and after childbirth is impossible, just like all these other things are impossible. With God, all things are possible. I think you should look into the holiness of the Theotokos. You should chant her canons, her Paracelsus canon, the small canon that is in most prayer books. We usually chant it according to the Greek meter. Well, we always chant it according to the Greek meter when we're in church. And if you know that, then it's a great blessing to sing it in that way. You should chant her Akathist, which was composed by St. Romanos, the melodiest, and delve into the profundity of all of the things that are said about her. One of the most profound things about her is her virginity, and not just her physical virginity, the fact that she did not ever have intercourse with a man. There's a lot of people that have done that. But her purity and her holiness, her being completely consumed by God. Now, the church has always believed that she's ever virgin. It's not something that is stated explicitly in the scriptures, although there are scriptures that are types of her virginity. The most famous one, perhaps, is the one of Ezekiel, which we read last night, where it talks about the gate which shall be shut, the prince shall enter in to eat bread, but then the gate shall be shut, meaning that she would not have any more children and that she was a virgin and would remain a virgin. And of course, that's sort of a metaphorical image, so people can say, well, that's not what that means. Especially Protestants, they would say, that doesn't mean that. I'll tell you how the soul knows that the Theotokos is ever virgin. We know things in our hearts. Books can't tell us the really important things in our heart. A book can't teach you how to love. A book can't teach you how to have faith. A book can't teach you to be humble. It can speak of humility and love and faith. But until the heart does these things, it cannot understand. And so the heart should understand why the Theotokos is ever virgin. It's really quite simple. She was wholly consecrated to God from the beginning of her life. Joachim and Anna, who were holy people and bore the Theotokos because of heartfelt prayer to God, had promised that any child that they had would be dedicated to the Lord. And so after she was weaned, and still a young girl, only 3 years old, they took her to the temple. She marched up the steps of the temple into the Holy of Holies. And there she would stay for extended periods of time. It says she lived in the Holy of Holies, but that doesn't mean that she slept there. She slept in the adjacent apartments where the virgin stayed, but she was constantly in the Holy of Holies, which was completely unheard of. It was forbidden. It was thought that someone who would do that without a blessing would die. But she didn't die. She flourished. So she was prepared for this incredible act, in which she is now called the mother of all Christians, because, of course, Jesus Christ, the only begotten eternally of the Father, in time was begotten by the Theotokos to become God already and man. So she is our mother, because, of course, through baptism we are united to the church. And the baptism was initiated by our Lord Jesus Christ. And our Lord Jesus Christ, as a man, was initiated by the Theotokos. So she's our mother. And for 9 months, our Lord Jesus Christ lived within her womb. Now, only mothers can understand this. I can only speak of it in a scientific or a theoretical way, because I've never felt life within my body moving. I've never been united to a soul that's inside me and is not my own. But women feel this when the baby moves within them and there is a kinship with this baby and a feeling of life occurring. And in this case, the life was the creator of life who was within her womb. So for 9 months, the God-man lived in her womb, growing ever larger, just as any baby boy would do, and then was born. Now, it makes no sense at all for someone who was consecrated to God from an early age, for someone who conversed with angels on a daily basis, for someone who was protected as a virgin by the elder Joseph, so she did not have to have any of the details of married life. He protected her. He was her protector, not her husband. We call her in one place her non-husband husband. That person who had all those things happen, why would she think in a mundane way? Why would she just go to being a normal Jewish woman, going to the well, taking care of her husband, raising her children? She was wholly consecrated to God. Now, marriage is blessed by God. And the marriage bed is undefiled, but the marriage bed is inferior to God's love. It points to God's love, but it's inferior to it. Of course, our society, being the idolatrous, evil society that it is, makes sexual relations to be like an idol, to be like something that must happen in any circumstance with any combination of people. But it's really only something that is to point to the love of God, which is superior. She had the love of God within her. She had Jesus Christ living within her body. And actually, the great privilege of basically creating his body through her own, because that's what happens, right? After the initial fertilization of the egg, of course, hers was extraordinary because the fertilization was through the Holy Spirit, not through the seed of man. After that happens, all that that baby becomes comes from the mother, from her flesh. So she had the great privilege of, shall we say, building the man, that human nature of Jesus Christ in the God-man Jesus Christ. So why would she be mundane? It makes no sense whatsoever. She was born for a purpose, and she was obedient to that purpose. And that's all she cared about. So she was holy and pure and revered by her non-husband husband and by the apostles later, because she became a mother to all of them, taught them many things. Her holiness, I believe, is the imprint upon our services, because our services, they emphasize the holiness of God. And not that he's unreachable by any means, but that the unreachable God is reachable by man. God is the Lord and hath appeared unto us. And we have a deep reverence in our services. Things are done carefully, not in a slipshod way. The singing is melodic and beautiful. We don't, thank God, have any bass guitars or drums or other silly things that would jar the soul. We have a fine appreciation for holiness, especially our services that unfortunately many lay people never see, such as the midnight office, the hours, Compline service. I tell you, every one of you should experience this. You should go to a convent or a monastery, and you should go to the midnight office at whatever time it is, 5 a.m, let's say, when there are just the candles burning and the monks or nuns are there in their habits, and there's a quietness and a stillness, and your heart feels this holiness. I think that that is the legacy of the Mother of God. I think the holiness of our services has a lot to do with her. Not that she constructed any services, not that she wrote anything down, not that she created any hymns, but she taught the apostles what it means to be holy. She taught them about her Son. Well after the resurrection. I think perhaps she lived for 30 years after the resurrection. So this is why the Theotokos is ever virgin. Certainly the scriptures speak of it. Our tradition speaks of it. We have always believed it. But there's a reason for things. The reason is the Theotokos was wholly consecrated to God, bore God within her body, and was completely changed by the experience. That's the reason. And she was so completely changed by the experience and her subsequent perfection after that experience that when it was time for her to die, as it was revealed to her, she went to Jerusalem. She was living in Jerusalem. Or she might have, I don't remember from the story whether or not she moved to Jerusalem to be ready to die, because she had been living in Ephesus for some time. And she commenced to more prayer and more fasting and preparing for her death. And after her death, really, in hindsight, it makes perfect sense. But of course, the apostles didn't know it. How could death hold the Theotokos, the one who had held life? She died. Her heart stopped beating. Her lungs stopped filling with air. Her body quieted and was dead. And then she was put in the tomb. And death could not contain her. Not by her own power, of course, but because of the love of her son, he came to escort her body and soul into heaven. She's the only one among mortals who has died and resurrected and gone to heaven. And it makes perfect sense, since she bore life in herself. And she is God's mother. I'm asking you as your pastor, make sure that you pray to the Theotokos. Make sure that you pray her canon. Make sure that you pray her akathists. We pray it often, probably at least once a month. We pray her canon or akathist in the Maleben on Mondays. Certainly during this fasting period, we've prayed it many, many times. You should be, if you're zealous enough, be saying the canons before communion. Now, it's not obligatory on lay people, but that obligatory is a strange word, actually, isn't it? You can make it obligatory on yourself if you wish. It's obligatory for us to love. It's obligatory for us to be humble. It's obligatory for us to obey God. And if your heart tells you, then you can make it obligatory for you to say these canons. But according to the letter of the law, it's not a requirement of lay people to say the canons, but generally, priests before the mysteries will say the canon to the Christ, the Theotokos, and the guardian angel, and then the akathist as well. After the sixth ode of those canons, they'll say the akathist, and that akathist is generally the one to Christ or the one to the Theotokos. That could be another one. I would recommend that you would try to be a little bit less lazy, pray a little bit more, and pray to the Theotokos. And you'll start to learn about her by saying her canon over and over again. You say it 5 times, it's not going to really make that much difference to you. You say it 500 times, then it starts to really be in your soul. And you start to know these things intuitively. To be honest with you, nobody ever told me why the Theotokos was ever virgin, and I kind of wondered about it. I knew it was true, but it didn't really touch me as a dogma until after reading the canons many times and the akathists many times, hearing the services many times, the Theotokia that are in all of our services many times, and feeling the intense holiness of these hymns, that it just makes absolute sense that she would be ever virgin, because nothing mundane would happen to her again. She wouldn't want anything mundane or worldly after bearing the God-man. So pray those services. If you don't do them now, just do a little bit of them. That's very, very important. I know that for some of you that might be overwhelming, you know, the idea of praying an akathist. How am I going to pray a 20-minute akathist or a 25-minute akathist? Maybe I don't know the melody very well, or maybe some of the words are kind of big and archaic and hard to understand and all the rest. Don't listen to all that stuff. It's better to pray like one ode of the akathist. There's 13 total. 12, and the first one is repeated, so that makes 13. With the canon, there are 8 odes altogether. It takes about 20 minutes, 25 minutes to sing it, maybe a little longer. And just sing a little bit of it, but do it regularly. And the Theotokos will pray for you. And there'll be a change come over you. And you'll start to view the things in the world that you're attracted to, and you'll still be attracted to them, but you'll start to view them as what they really are. They're mundane, they're silly, they're pointless. All that matters is holiness. The Theotokos is our best example of a human being who cared only about holiness. Now, all of us care about holiness a little bit. Some of us more than others, some of us less than others. But we're not completely given over to God. I hope very much that you want to be given over to God completely. Now, if you don't want to be given over to God completely, then you're in a real pickle. It's going to be pretty much impossible to become holy. At least want to be given over to God completely, even though it's a difficult task, even though there are things that maybe you think, well, I don't know if I want to give that up or not. Okay. But at least want to be given over to God completely and let the Theotokos teach you. God will help you. Through the prayers of the Most Holy Theotokos, O Lord Jesus Christ, our God, have mercy on us and save us. Amen.